Well, when we think about the new year, 2 days away, and those resolutions, God doesn't just want us simply to change what we do or to change our habits or our thoughts. I believe he really wants us to change the very way we think. The Bible says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. So God wants you to think actually the way he thinks. Think with the mind of Christ. And when you do, it will become easier and easier to actually understand and get what his will is for you. I suppose an example would be, well, if you know Christ's ethics, it would be much easier if you wanted to make an ethical decision. If you want to know more about or have to make a decision involving morality. If you know what the Bible says about morality, it makes it much easier to make that decision. Relationships, business, whatever it is, it makes it easier to make those decisions in Christ's way if actually you know what it says. If you want to know God's will, actually you need to understand what God thinks. And the best way to do that, the best way to know what God thinks, is to look at what he's already said, to know God's word. It helps you understand his way of thinking. The Bible doesn't simply record what God said. It tells us how he thinks. In a way, reading the Bible, it's a bit like reading God's mind. Like reading God's mind. It's just like any friend. If you've got a friend, the more you listen to them, the more you communicate with them, the more you hear what they're saying, the better you begin to understand them and the better you begin to understand how they think. Marion and I, very often I find, we know what each other are going to say before we say it. Mind you, we've been together for quite a long time. Most of my life, I suppose, now. And we know each other pretty well. But that's come over time. We learn how people think. By reading the Bible is reading God's mind. Now, when it comes to God's will for us, God's will for your life, if you're like me, you probably would like to get to the juicy details, the perfect plan, pretty quickly. You'd like it all set out. You know, this is what God wants you to do down the ages, down the years, and this is what the result's going to be, and you've got to go there and do this and that. The perfect plan, the full perfect plan at the beginning. But it's not actually normally given like that. I think there are one or two exceptions, but most people don't get that. I find it's much more like doors opening and doors closing. I think Ian Smales talked about that a few times recently. When God shuts one door, he opens another. But you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find I'm sort of, I suppose, in God's hallway. One door's shut and I'm waiting to find out which other one's opening. And that's not really always a very comfortable place to be, just waiting. I wonder if any of us are in that position at the moment. Anyone in the hallway waiting for the door? Now, we've just celebrated Christmas and we've had these great services in this great building and we've really enjoyed them and all the bits that went on. And Andy's talk, I don't know if you heard the talk. Was it at the Contemporary Carol Service? Santa versus Jesus. If you didn't hear it at the time, I suggest you do. It was quite contemporary, and it was very interesting. I can tell you safely today, because there's no children with us, that actually Jesus wins. I think Andy found it a bit more difficult when he found he got some quite young children there listening about Santa. But what is Christmas all about? And how does it fit into God's plan for me? Or is it simply that celebration? You see, I said deep down Christmas is about being adopted into God's family. It's easy to think of it all about Santa or a baby, but it's actually about you and about me. All those things that are going on, those lights, those crackers, those turkeys, it's all about me being adopted in God's family. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And that sonship, well, it's the start of our journey in God's family. Rebirth is a start, not an end. When a baby's born, it's the start of its life, isn't it? It's the start of the adventure, the start of the journey. You wouldn't say, wow, you know, baby's born, that's it. Those of us who are parents or grandparents or have children in the family, we know it's a start and a long journey lying ahead, not an end. And this new birth in Christ is the start of a path that will continue right through life and on beyond. Again, the Bible says, the path of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn. And actually, I believe God's will is like that first gleam of dawn. A few months ago, Marion and I were driving home. We've actually been to France, and we were driving back across France, and we'd booked a ferry, and it was quite an early morning ferry. I think it was leaving at, 9 o'clock in the morning. And we were quite far down south in France, so we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was pitch black. And we started off up the motorway, and there's not a lot of traffic on French motorways in, ever, but at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's very little, and it was dark everywhere. But as we drove along, slowly a little faint light came up in the east there, and just a glimmer. And slowly over, I suppose, 3/4 of an hour, that got brighter and brighter until the sun came up. And I think God's will is a bit like that. When you're adopted, when you're reborn, when you're in his family, his will dawns one bit at a time. One step at a time. I don't know about you, but I believe we tend to see God's will in terms of location and activities and places and time. But that's not the way God looks at his call on your life. God calls not to a destination, he calls us to a way of life. It's first, how are we living life? And then second, and secondary, this is the destination. I've got an example. Abraham in the Old Testament. We've been reading bits in Genesis in some of the services recently, and I don't think we've got to chapter 12 yet. In chapter 12, Abraham comes on the scene. And it is an abrupt coming onto the scene. There's very little introduction. Chapter 12, verse 1 sort of says, well, God sort of turns up out of the blue into Abraham's life. Verse 12, chapter 1 says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I think it's fascinating in those words, that land I will show you. It doesn't say go to any place or go east or go west or go, just go to the land I will show you. I will. It didn't give any destination. Very simply, it was, I want you to leave. Leave your old life. I have a new life in mind for you. Leave the old values. Leave the old land. Leave the old gods. Leave all that stuff behind. I have something new for you. So God said it. And Abraham went. He simply trusted God. And God said, this man Abraham, well, he's my friend. Actually, God didn't say that about many people in the whole Bible, but he did about Abraham. He's my friend. And Abraham went on from there, and he made loads of mistakes in his life. He really did. You can read the story in Genesis. We're not going to go through it now. It's quite a long one, but he made lots of bad choices, bad things. I sometimes think he's a bit like me, only a bit in some ways and others. But in the heart of hearts, he wanted what God wanted. And God says, yes, I know he made lots of mistakes, but he's my friend. He follows me. And that actually is what God is looking for. And when Abraham went wrong, God didn't abandon him. He simply redirected him. The Bible says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, seek God's mind, and actually he will direct you. What it doesn't say in the Bible is seek God's mind and he will show you the whole plan and the ultimate destination. It never says that. He shows you the right way. And that's more important than the destination. Jesus talks about it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? We have to think about the way we live. The way we live life when we want to know what God's plan is. Are you living the way God wants you to live? I'm not talking about in economic terms, but your soul, your values, your morals. Are you living the way God wants you to live? Are you following his values, his instructions, his way of living? You know, if you find that you feel you're moving away from God, God is becoming more remote, then actually you're not on the right path. Because he always draws you closer. So God's will dawns on you. And the way is more important than the destination. And as you seek God, he paves that way for you one step at a time, like he did for Abraham. After Abraham had been told to go, he walked for 500 miles. I had a look at Google to find out where it is 500 miles away from here. If you go in a straight line, John O'Groats is 506 miles in a straight line from here. So Abraham walked effectively from here on the same distance here to John O'Groats, one step at a time, without actually knowing where the end destination was. He went on. There were no signs, there were no road signs, there was no sat-nav, there was no map. He just walked on until God said, yep, this is it, this is the place, stop here. So why doesn't God show us that whole thing up front? Well, I think there's a few reasons, and I'm applying these to myself, really, that I think that these are why I wouldn't want to know it up front. God knows that I actually can get impatient. I can. I quite like to find a shortcut to get it done quickly. I think if God showed me the whole plan up front, I'd be looking for ways I could help God out a little bit and speed up his plan. Abraham actually did that, you know. He did that a few times. He did it with some quite serious consequences. He'd been promised a son, and he hadn't got one, and his wife couldn't have children. So he basically went and found another woman to speed things up a bit. It wasn't a good decision, believe me. People get impatient. I think, second, God knows that I might argue with him about the plan. You know, lots of people in the Bible, lots of good people did. Moses argued with God about the plan when God first told him what he'd got to do. Gideon, the judge, he argued. Jeremiah argued. They didn't really think they wanted to do their bit in that plan. Some people didn't like the plan at all. Jonah, if you remember Jonah, the guy who got swallowed by the big fish or the whale or whatever it was, Jonah, when he heard the plan, he headed off straight away in the opposite direction as fast as he could go. And he did end up as, fish food, really, didn't he? He got swallowed by the fish. But even more significant than that, than arguing or not liking the plan, or taking shortcuts, is that if you knew it all, I suppose you wouldn't need faith in it. If you really knew what was going to happen, you wouldn't need faith. But faith is really important to God. Faith for this life, that's the important thing in this life. Actually, sight in the next life. In Hebrews, you can read, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We live by faith, not by outcomes, but faith in a person, faith in believing who God is, faith in believing what the character of God is. And without faith, we cannot please God. So the question is, am I walking forward in faith? You know, if you waited to be certain about what God wants, about certainty in everything, you would really end up frozen in some sort of indecision there. So what do we do? What can we do about that? Well, to finish, as we approach a new year and look for ideas in our life, resolutions in our life, I think there are a few things we can positively do. And the first one, I've called it, look for signposts. To move forward, you really need, first of all, to know where you are now. Whenever you plan a journey, I think the first thing you need to know is, where am I starting from? If you go to Google Maps and put in a destination and ask for directions, the very first question that comes back is, what's the start point? Are you starting from where you are? What's your postcode? Something like that. Well, I think we need to know where we are now spiritually and what we learned on the way here. What works well in my life? What successes? What patterns can I see? What gifts has God given me? What talents have I got? What abilities? What excites me? What do I dream about doing? I think these are signposts in your life. These are things that God has given you that uniquely make you the way you are. And if they're not to be used, well, why has God given them to you? If there are things you're not good at, I think those are signposts not to go that way. If there are things that actually you really are just not good at doing, it's probably not God's choice that you do those things. I think a great example, over the Christmas, I don't know where it's been on this year, over Christmas, normally I seem to find Chariots of Fire on the TV, the film. And, you know, there are some films that are often on at Christmas, and I think Chariot of Fire is one of them. And I actually think it's a pretty good film. I don't know if you know it. It's about a guy called Eric Liddell, and he was a runner, a really good runner. But in that film, his sister comes up to him and is talking to him, and she says, "Why are you running?" And Eric Liddell replies, "Well, because God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Well, I suppose the question for us is, how did God make you? And what do you do that makes you feel God's pleasure? And how do you know when God is pleased? Well, I think our spiritual family, this family we're adopted into, is one of the things that shows us that. When we see smiles on the faces of our spiritual families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's God's pleasure, a sign of it. Look for the signs. Look for the opportunities that match the way God made you. I think the second thing is travel light. Don't carry the weight of the past with you. Don't carry a load of guilt from things that happened and you've confessed and been forgiven for. Don't worship those old idols that are left behind. Abraham was told to leave it all behind, and we should as well. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. That's what Jonah said, actually, when he was in that fish. I always think Jonah's great because, I mean, even then, in God's mercy, he got him out of the fish. And when you think about it, he came out of the mouth, and there are two ways out of a fish. It could have been worse for him. It was pretty bad. Are the things I'm holding on to in my life that really make me forfeit God's grace? So pack light. Thirdly, choose your travelling companions. Choose those that keep you on track, those that encourage you. I really believe in small groups in our church, that home groups, I believe they are so, so valuable to have a small group of friends, Christian friends, that actually you can rely on. You can rely on when you need help, and you can help them when they need help. Needn't be big things, but you're friends and you trust each other and you can share with them. I think that is so important, and that group can keep you on track. There is the other side to the same thing, but I'm not saying lose non-Christian friends. I think it's good to have non-Christian friends. I think we're asked to have non-Christian friends and to reach out into the world. But I am saying avoid bad company. Avoid those people who actually lead you astray. Now you may be thinking, where does prayer come into all of this? And again, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the doors will be opened. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And I believe this means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask the Lord in prayer. Keep on doing that. Seek guidance and help from those fellow travellers. And then knock on doors. Try new things. There's nothing wrong with trying things. But always keep asking at the same time and keep on seeking whilst you're doing that knocking. And whilst you're doing these things, looking for signposts, travelling light, choosing companions, asking, seeking, knocking, whilst you're doing those things, actually make sure that you're acting on what you already know. Be sure to follow God's general instructions in his word, in the Bible. If you follow his way, you will reach the destination of his plan for you. But if all you're doing is looking for a destination, well, actually, you could miss his plan altogether. And a final point now. The way is God's will for your life. It shapes you. It builds your faith. It makes you into the man or woman that God wants you to become. In a moment, I'm going to finish actually by praying together. As we look at the new year, I would like us to finish actually with the Lord's Prayer together. Because it seems to me that this is a prayer of daily surrender to God. It's in our little books, it's on page 20. And I'm going to suggest we just say it together at the beginning, at the bottom of page 20 there. Let's just pray together now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.